Welcome to Small Town Tales, a podcast where we hear stories of the paranormal, haunting legends, and all things spirit. Join us as we explore the unknown. Now, here's your host, C.L. Thomas.
Hello, this is C.L. Thomas, and I am here again with another podcast special with special guest, Native American Native Paranormal Seekers. They are paranormal investigators who are from the Timok tribe of Western Shoshone. I'm so honored to have them on the show. And tonight we are going to discuss Native American elementals and Native American hauntings. So it's going to be a really good podcast. Let's start this hour off with you guys telling me about yourselves and what led you down the paranormal path. Who are you?
Our group is called Native Paranormal Seekers, like you said, and my name is Tanya White Fawn, and this is my husband, Kent, but we, you know, he's known as Bear, and we created the paranormal team so that we can help spirits move on, and everyone in our group has a gift, and we use our gift in combination so that we can fight evil and help spirits move on or pass on a message. And we practice our traditions and spirituality. So, you know, it really is, you know, so we connect with energy and manipulate it and the natural elements too, like herbs, and we bless our own oils and use mineral stones because each one of them has a specific energy. And you can use that one energy to help protect or bind something or heal. So it's pretty interesting. And we've been doing it, I've been doing this my whole life, and I've been able to hear spirits since I was, I think the earliest was 5 years old. And as a Native American, you know, we even call on spirits to help with our ceremonies. You know, our ancestors used to call on spirits to help them with good weather and hunting and protection. And it's been in our family since the beginning of time, really. And so when people say, you know, they're a medium or they're psychic, they still relatively new in their life, this kind of energy. So you got to be careful, really, because if you don't have guidance, you don't know really how to handle that. It can be powerful.
Absolutely.
So you guys are part of the Shoshones, correct?
Shoshone.
Shoshone. That's how you say it. Yes. What is the Shoshone for my audience, real quick?
Shoshone is, if you look at the history of Shoshone, it was really huge. It covered, the tribe covered like 6 states. It was that massive. And when it gets that big, they tend to branch off and create another tribe. So there's a lot of different smaller Shoshone tribes. Ours is Western Shoshone. So there's North, I couldn't even list them. There's so many. There's Duckwater Shoshone. There's Eastern Shoshone, you know, Southern Shoshone and Northern Shoshone. And they're just in Paiute. There's so many. I think there's like around 28. And Kent, in fact, my husband, he's Blackfoot and Irish. So, you know, we combined both of our Native American history. So
it's so interesting.
Shoshone was really big and powerful, too. I mean, the people were afraid of the Shoshone. They were right up there with Apache and Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm.
And we were enemies with those tribes, you know.
Well, here in Las Vegas, most of the land directly around Las Vegas is owned by the Paiutes in Shoshone.
Yeah. Well, and our tribe is in Elko, Nevada.
Got it. So where are you guys located?
We're in Bend, Oregon, Central Oregon.
Yeah, we're not far from the Bigfoot Trackway. And in fact, our second daughter seen Bigfoot. A Bigfoot.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
We got a frantic phone call.
2:30 in the morning.
2:30 in the morning, saying, "I just saw Bigfoot," and of course, Tawny's like, let's go, let's go. And I'm like, are you kidding? I gotta work in the morning. But we did go out there the next day.
Yeah, we did a recreation. We did
a full recreation. And I had my daughter put her car right where she thought she was, where she came around the corner. And it was right where at an overpass where you could go under the highway. And then there's an on-ramp right there. And this thing was standing right on the hill that goes up.
On the side.
On the side up to the highway. And I stood right where it stood. And I had her sit in her car, you know, up the road a little bit to where she had it dead in the headlights.
It was like two car lengths away. Yeah. That's how close she was.
And I held my hand up and I kept saying, well, how high was its head? And she kept saying, higher, higher. I couldn't reach any higher.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's, you know, 7 feet. I can't reach any higher than that. And she goes, well, and I said, well, what did it do? And she goes,
Its head hit the back under the overpass. She said she could still see the overpass behind its head.
Which still, it was over 7 feet tall. And I said, well, what did it do? And she said it, when she came around the corner, she had it dead in the lights and it scrunched down to try to get small. And then it kind of went back and forth like that in a crouch position, like it didn't know what to do. And then it just shot up the hill and she saw it just clean.
Yeah.
But
it was like a football player. It crouched down and she said the glow of its eyes and it was blinking is what caught her attention. And we actually believe a theory is there was a bunch of moths that were born and they're born every 10 years. They were stuck to all the cement buildings and the overpass. So we think it was eating them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if this is a site that they choose every 10 years, you know, to come and eat them. Because those moths were really big, probably 2 inches. There were really huge moths. And once every 10 years. So and we think they were eating them like popcorn. I was so excited when she told me that, you know, because we've had experiences with Bigfoot our whole lives. And to actually see one, you know. And
she's the only one of us to actually get to see one.
Yeah.
But we've heard them.
Do you guys have any paranormal evidence that you picked up? Do you have any evidence from your investigations of these things?
No, we don't really investigate Bigfoot. We're not Bigfooters.
Yeah.
We don't go out.
You're not Bigfooters.
Well, because these things can kill you. And they take you off and dismember you. And we're not into that kind of thing. So,
He doesn't like the scary, you know, like the big, huge creatures. And those ones, he wants to protect our family. But I'm like, let's go, you know. No. He's like, no. Yeah, he kind of, he's the voice of reason. Yes. I'd love to. I would be like, you know, trying to do sign language and communicate. Because we have such a deep history with Bigfoots, you know, that I would have no problem. In fact, we went and took a trip to Nevada for, was it a week or two? And we were driving in our RV and I seen a black figure on this trail, this
dirt road,
you know, and I was like, Kent, what is that? And he goes, oh, it's a tree that was struck by lightning. And I'm like watching it and I can see it moving. And I'm like, no, it's moving. And he goes, well, it's somebody on a quad. And I'm like, no, it's walking. I could see its feet was lighter, but it was pitch black.
It was
in Nevada.
It was way in the distance. I mean, we're looking at a dot, you know, way down this dirt, dusty road. But it was black.
It was
moving
black.
And it was vertical.
Yes. So you could see it. Like you could see detail on it. And I was like, it's fur. What's this thing doing in the middle of the desert? You know, a pitch black and just walking calmly. And I was like, oh my God.
Broad daylight.
Yeah.
Broad daylight. The thing was in the desert all by itself. No cover, no trees. There was nothing to hide behind.
No.
That's where it was bought,
just sagebrush. So. And, you know, we've never seen or heard anything that anybody else experiencing something like that. But recently we did on TV. Somebody caught on video while they were driving in the desert a figure that was black like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's really rare to capture something like that or witness something like that. And I mean, I haven't seen anything on YouTube or nothing of something like this kind of creature. So it may be a Bigfoot, or it may be in the lines of Wendigo and Skinwalker, because they're kind of grouped, you know, together with mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah, you know what? I cannot wait to talk to you guys about the Skinwalker stuff later on in this episode. I've got so many questions about that. But you investigate Native American hauntings, right?
Oh, any place we can, we do. And being a Native American, we're allowed to be on that land. So we're kind of lucky to be able to investigate something that is sacred to the Native Americans, you know. And, you know, because in history, it's also rare to have a paranormal group, you know, and be Native American. Native Americans are so private. They don't yes. trust anybody. And so we're in contact with several Native American paranormal groups. There's only very few, and they're doing just as good of work as we are. And so it's pretty special, you know.
And that's why I'm so honored to have you guys on this show, because it is very hard to find anyone from Native American tribes to talk to me about different things. So
yeah, Native American, like if you took a picture of them, they thought you were capturing their soul on film. So they wouldn't let their picture be taken. I mean, my great-grandmother was one of them. So it wasn't very long ago that they still believed that, you know, so it's still fresh in their minds. And they're just now letting you film them and take pictures of them and record their rituals and stuff like that. So, but sharing it with the public, that's still rare. So we're trying to emerge that into the public and do it the right way. And
basically trying to show people that these entities, creatures, elementals
are
very real. They are out there. And, we completely believe that mankind lived alongside these creatures
in harmony
thousands of years ago in harmony, but yep. We fell out of favor with them. Who knows how long ago, thousands of years ago, but these creatures, you know, went back to the forest, and they exist in a realm just outside of what our eyes can see.
Yeah, in our reality.
And that's where our tech comes into play. Where, you know, we use a lot of different cameras that, you know, full spectrum, infrared, flare, SLS camera, all these different mediums that can peer into that.
Reality.
Into the, well, yeah, reality.
Or dimension.
Or
yeah.
dimension. But they're there, and we have captured them on film and interacted with them. And some of them are pretty plain looking, but others are
pretty impressive,
pretty freaky.
Yeah,
I mean, you're able to really lay your eyes on one of these things and see it for what it was, it would probably scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, it's
because we captured one out in eastern Oregon that literally its head was gigantic on this tiny little skeletal body. It was captured on full spectrum. And the head was, it was a skeletal head with these crazy short little horns coming out of its head. And there was a steam train station out in the middle of nowhere. And we were out there for quite a few hours. And there was a bunch of passenger cars sitting idle on tracks, just sitting there. And we were talking about leaving, and all of a sudden these two train cars smashed together after they've been sitting on a level track for hours, not making a peep. And all of a sudden, these train cars smashed together, startled us really good, you know, because we weren't expecting that.
There was no wind.
No wind, no nothing to cause this.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, we captured these photos of this creature.
Wow. Do you guys have those posted on your website?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can see that. You can see all those in a video called Proof of Elementals, where we have got...
On our YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube. And there's six or seven really good clips. We put them all together in kind of like a best hits video of all the elemental captures that we've gotten. And even one at the end, what we call Mr. Ugly, is more of a
demon,
more of a demon's minion.
Minion, yeah.
And it's a lower level demon that shows up beside me. We were deep in the basement of an old memory care facility.
That's what's really scary, is that this creature was in the basement.
It was in the basement of an old memory care facility. And this thing just, it looks like it comes out of a fold in the shadows.
Like a curtain almost.
Yeah, almost like a curtain.
A black curtain.
Black curtain folds behind me. And then you all of a sudden see these bright eyes come out of the dark. They just appear. And they're cat-like.
Yeah, they had slitted eyes like a snake or a cat.
And pointed ears like a cat. And you could see its complete outline. And then it's just there for a second. And then right as it gets ready to shoot off, you see this mouth open up. And it is literally full of teeth.
It looked like needles.
And it shoots. And it looks like it almost goes right through my body. Because I'm standing pretty much in front of it. But that's...
What was this thing? Was it a skinwalker?
No, we think it was a lower level demon.
Lower level demonic.
Yeah. It was about 2 feet tall. And it had these weird black tribal markings, it seemed, on its face. Yeah, it was. And we also caught an image of a creature hanging on one of their pipes in the basement.
That thing almost looks like an alien.
Yeah, that had these weird round lips.
Bulbous head
and a big it's
That was full spectrum and that was a full spectrum still photo, and Mr. Ugly, this little shadow demon, that was actually captured on video, so you can see it in motion. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it moves. It what's weird is that its eyes was shining, the white part of it was shining, and the black of it was the slitted part was really black. And it looked shocked that it was looking at the camera, like, oh my gosh, the camera. And it looked like it took a growl or a bite in, you know, either of Kennedy or it just took off. But we were shocked to find, to capture something or even see something like that. Because, you know, in the history, you only hear just of what elementals and demons look like. So, and there's hundreds of thousands of different types of creatures. So, you know, I mean, if you look at how many insects there are and how many, you know, nationalities there are, it's the same thing with these creatures, you know. There's so many. So to capture just a glimpse of them, it's so amazing. And, you know, we don't think every evidence that we have is paranormal. We have so many cameras watching so that we can go back and if we found the evidence, we'd go back and look at another angle of it and see if we caught it on a different camera. And we all have to agree that this is unnormal.
Unexplained.
Yes. And so, and we try to just put the best out there and we try not to alter it either. So we either brighten it or lighten it or turn up the volume. We don't change it in any way. So it's really natural when you see our evidence.
Yeah, we don't use a whole lot of audio filters to try to pull EVPs out of, because the more you do that, the more you lose the EVP. So mostly we just turn the audio gain up just a little bit, just so folks at home watching YouTube or whatever they're watching, they can actually hear it. Yeah. So outside of just turning the gain, that's all we do.
How do you guys as Native Americans decipher between the different spiritual elements, elementals?
Well,
how can you tell that it's a demon or...
Well,
pretty much by its actions.
Yeah, you ask them too, because we also got a name of, and we looked it up, and it's an actual name.
You can actually communicate with them.
Yes.
You can actually communicate with them.
Yeah. It's so strange because we're still surprised that we get the evidence that we do and the level that we do, because we do a whole ritual before we start investigating, and we have our gifts that, like, my gift is I can hear them and I also can see them. So when we're walking into a location, I can, when they start talking, I'll go, oh my gosh, they're starting to talk. So Ken's like, okay, they're here. So then he turns on the camera and we always catch something. And it, other paranormal groups, they randomly will pick a room and walk into
just
it and
wander in the darkness.
It, yeah, it's like shooting in the dark. So we're really blessed to have
exactly where to go.
Yes,
exactly.
And also, we also do this ritual where we call on them and we draw, you know, use our energy to pull them in, and it's almost like a battery, and we get something amazing every time. I mean, we went to the cemetery one time, and we actually caught an 8-foot-tall figure watching us.
That's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. Not Bigfoot either. It's really thin, and it has a gown on, like Matrix, you know, like a Matrix gown, that movie. And it was standing, like, it was crouched down, like it was trying to hide behind one of our lights. And it was too big to do that. So then you see it stand, and it walks. How far?
It probably, like, we've got it on camera going at least 40 yards across the cemetery, where you can see it going behind trees.
Wow.
When you first see it, when it's actually in the IR light or close to it, it gets illuminated.
Yeah, like shining.
By the infrared light, because we had a lot of cameras set up and looking in different angles. And I have these homemade floodlights that I made for their infrared floodlights. And we had those set up. And it was crouching behind that. So when it stood up, it got illuminated pretty well. And you can really see it. I mean, when you first see it, it's standing. Because I was in the process of setting the camera down, so it was kind of moving around. And you can see it standing there, and you actually see it crouch down. And then when the camera comes to rest, you see this thing just pop up, stand up, turn, and start walking. And it just starts walking all the way, you know, almost out of frame. And then we're thinking, oh man, is that, wow, what a crazy catch. And then all of a sudden it starts to come back.
Yeah.
It comes back, walks about half of that distance back, and then just vanishes.
Yeah.
So do you use a specific Native American ritual or tradition to call these things?
Yeah. Like I said, everything has its own energy and purpose, and same, you know, it's our creator created the earth and everything on it so that we could heal ourselves and protect ourselves and communicate with heaven. So,
but as far as giving out what she actually says,
I can't say,
we can't give that information out. We get asked that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say? Well, what do you do to get,
what do you
them
use?
To come out? we can't indulge you all with that because there's people out there that would use it.
Yeah.
In the wrong manner. You know what I mean?
Got it. Right.
Exactly. So we don't like to let that information out.
We do it to protect, you know, these spirits.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Completely under. And I really like that too.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, everything has its own particular energy, and it's the same thing with, like, using sage. People aren't using it correctly.
Right. When I hear that all the time.
Right. Yes. Because you're burning sage, you're creating this positive energy, and then you don't do anything. You don't give it direction. So it sits in a cloud, and then it, you know, dissipates. So you have to give it direction. Same thing with the crystal. You tell the crystal what it needs to do. And so the sage, it's the same thing. You have to give it direction, like protect this home, or, you know, bind something or cast it out. So That's a big mistake that a lot of people make, and it's really sad because it's a powerful tool. And, you know, Native Americans aren't the only ones that use sage. I mean, other people around the world use it. So, you know, it's not just Native American.
It's really popular, especially in the paranormal field right now. Everybody's using sage because they think that they could clear a home of spirits. But, a lot of times I hear over and over how that backfires on them.
And it does. We watch all these ghost shows and we see them, oh, we'll whip out the sage and we'll bless this place. And And then they do, and we're just shaking our heads going, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Because they don't give it a direction.
Yeah.
They don't tell it what to do. I mean, you gotta tell, like Tanya was saying, you gotta program the smoke. You gotta tell it what you want it to do. You have to give it that intention.
Yeah.
It's all about the intent. You don't give it that intent and that direction to go, it doesn't work.
Yeah. The light that, you know, we've seen them where they light the sage and think just lighting it, the spirit's going to leave or the evil's going to leave, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah. They don't seem to make that spiritual connection to it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So one of the things I value about Native American culture is that they are spiritually connected to the land way more than the Western culture. There are several places in which I've been that are ancient Native American places that have petroglyphs and things like that. And one of the things that's really fascinating is, well, two things. One, I never catch anything paranormal there that's human.
And the petroglyph?
Yeah, like anywhere that's a Native American.
Yeah, it's serenity and peace. That's what those symbols mean, you know? So I don't know why they would think it was something negative.
For instance, like the Bellwitch Cave in Tennessee, have you heard about that place?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They always attribute that to be a Native American curse that's causing all of these hauntings.
Well, you know, if you look at the history, Native Americans were here first in the United States. So Native Americans, you know, they blessed everything. They prayed all day. They were grateful for the sun coming up, the sun going down, for good weather, for, you know, their food. They were praying all day. And so when negativity happened with like the Indian Wars, that leaves a scar on the earth. And so, and plus when they're, they have those burial mounds and they're mistreated, negativity is, you know, left there. And so then there's layers over history. So when there's murder committed and, you know, robbing and killing and raping. And so it's just a pile of negativity. And so you have to like peel back each layer. When we go to a location, we communicate with the spirit and figure out what is there. So it could be a creature. It could be an elemental, could be something evil. It could be a spirit. And a lot of these paranormal groups think it's a ghost or something evil.
Right.
There's so much more, you know? And so when a paranormal group comes in and they'll investigate, they're more likely just communicating with the recent dead. We go deep and we go all the way to the Native Americans and whatever's there. And we figure out what's there and then we come back again. And then we deal with whatever, you know, it could be a spirit that needs help. So we gather the tools that we need to help them move on, or it could be something evil there. So then we get our tools and come back and then we fight evil. And we're not afraid to do that either.
But we don't seek it out.
Yeah, we don't go and look for evil like some of these paranormal groups, yeah. Which is so stupid, you know, because you're just...
If you look for it, you'll find it.
Yeah.
You don't want to find
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like... fire and fire, you just, you know, it's not working and, or water and water. So, yeah. So we figure out what we're dealing with and then we come back and we, we'll either fight or help. And if it's an elemental, we leave offerings, you know, because really they're there to help elementals. It's just like how there was how humans are. So you can have some good and some bad. And they're older than the Bible. So they've been here since the earth was created. And we honestly believe that they were, you know, placed here so that they could help it grow. And there are some that'll step over that line, you know. So, and be mischievous. They'll lose your keys. They'll, you know, move something. And you find it later in a different spot. So, yeah, we figure out what we're dealing with, and then we come back and we'll, you know, handle it.
Well, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to discuss more of your different investigations and the Skinwalker.
Come join C.L. Thomas at the Las Vegas Para-Unity Convention this December at the MGM Grand Conference Center. Showcasing the biggest names in the supernatural and cryptid aspects of the paranormal field, along with the horror as well as the comic book field. Go to VegasParaUnity.com. That's VegasParaUnity.com.
And we're back. This is your host, C.L. Thomas, and I have with me the Native Paranormal Seekers, and they are discussing spiritual elementals in the Native American tribes. Can you guys talk some about the different kinds of investigations you have been on, particularly involving some of these different spiritual beings that you come across? I know you've discussed a lot of them already, but is there...
We're just putting together a new video. We haven't released it yet, but we found this old pioneer cemetery here in Central Oregon, and we read a little bit about it. And we thought, oh, we'll go check this place out. So we went out there light. We didn't take a whole bunch of equipment with us because it was the first time we'd ever been there. So we went out there and set up our equipment, started to investigate, and then Tanya would call on the spirits, and then we started off into the cemetery, and we came onto this area where there was an actual open grave, a freshly dug grave, and we almost walked into it.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
To tell you the truth.
But there wasn't anybody in it or anything. It's not, or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh.
So we're congregated around this open grave, and our batteries start dying in our cameras. And that's a telltale sign of spiritual activity. They start draining your camera batteries to gain energy to manifest, to speak or do something. And it was right about then Tanya started to hear voices and children, like out in the darkness in a field. And there is houses, but they're way off in the distance. And she's hearing the voices. And I was like, okay, here we go. And I swung that camera around, and there's this huge tree kind of by the veterans area. And there's a neat little bench built around this tree. And when I first caught it in evidence review, I had to rub my eyes a couple of times because I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But you see this figure, a complete shadow figure, but it looks like a tree because its arms are bent backwards. It's really tall. We did a side by side, and I'm 6 feet tall, and this thing was up and out of the screen. And it walked in front of this huge tree. So you walk. I say walk. It floated.
It looked like it was walking, but it floated.
It wasn't touching the ground.
Yeah.
You know, normally when you see a shadow, I'm really good at looking at shadows on video because I watch a lot of evidence. And I know how shadows react. And shadows always touch something. They're always connected to something or somebody. And this thing was connected to nothing. It wasn't touching the ground, nothing. And you see it just move out across, and then the camera moves a little bit, and then it freezes there for a second. And you can see the shadow coming down. It's still standing there, and it's not touching the ground. And then it goes back the way it came. And you see it again right in front of that big tree.
It's a stick figure or tree figure,
some kind of elemental, a big tree dwelling elemental.
Yeah, it kind of look like Groot.
Yes, that's what I said. Oh my gosh, that's what I said.
If it was all in shadow, it was.
It had branches. I mean, off of Marvel things. Yes. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't want to say that, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah, really.
Yes,
it did kind of look like Groot.
It totally did. I was shocked.
That's interesting. I grew up reading those Marvel comics as a kid, and a lot of those figures kind of resemble some of these elementals.
Yes, yeah, they do. Yes. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And we found out that we actually caught what looks like the same figure again the next time we come. So twice we've caught this figure on camera. And what's strange is it's so tall that it extends past the camera screen. And Kent was 6 feet, and it looked like Kent came to his waist. That's how tall this figure was.
Yeah, it was big.
It was huge. And we think that it wasn't touching the ground because it's in another dimension. You know, everybody's always saying it's, you know, these, you know, beings are just a little level off of our dimension. So, yeah.
I've heard that too. When you see, even with people, a lot of people will say that when they see shadows and stuff, they're a little bit like a foot off the ground, as if the ground was higher or something at one time.
Yeah.
So amazing, these different creatures. And, you know, and this is the recent one that we captured. We even had a rock thrown at us, too, that same night. I mean,
a big rock was tossed at Tanya.
Yeah, this place was amazing.
And the amount of evidence that we rolled out of there with was kind of shocking because the place was so active.
And we weren't even there for 2 hours. It was an hour and 20 minutes of recording.
I mean, we videotaped black masses flying. We caught one black mass coming right at me. It goes right past me. And then we circle around, and there's this little funky area in the center of this Pioneer Cemetery where children are buried. And there's a couple of big markers, and the energy is really off right there.
Like it makes you feel...
It makes you want to leave the area.
Yeah, that flight or fight.
Yeah, you get that flight feeling when you're in this area. And that's the area where the rock was tossed at Tanya. And we were actually separated when it happened. I was a good 50 feet away from her. But we didn't catch the rock on video, but we got the sound of it hitting the ground and rolling. And it landed really close to her because the sound is so loud. And then immediately Tanya asked, "Who threw that rock?" And then we get an EVP, a soft, whispery voice said, "Jeffrey."
Wow.
Jeffrey.
Who was Jeffrey?
Yeah. We looked around for a headstone with a Jeffrey on it. We couldn't find one.
Well, there was some that said JJ, you know, abbreviated. So, been. I mean, we don't know. The creature that we captured at an old Pioneer Cemetery was just amazing, you know. And, you know, before that, too, a few months ago, we were helping an elderly couple who called us and said that one evening she heard a noise outside and a deer come running out of the dark and its skin was stripped from its neck. So she was trying to stop it to help it. And she heard something behind the deer and saw a 7 foot tall figure with red glowing eyes. So we were like, "Let's go." I was so excited. You know, these kind of different creatures.
You're running like, toward the stuff, right?
Yes. So we went to this location, and this elderly couple lives on 160 acres. And so the nearest neighbor is miles away.
They live out in the deserts of Oregon.
Yeah.
And there's literally nothing out there.
Like, just
tumbleweed and a few and juniper trees peppered one every square mile or something.
Yeah, even their the roads in the town are all dirt roads. And you see a sign that tells you what the street name is, and you're on a dirt road. You could get lost. And it's just nothing but sagebrush. There's no trees or nothing. And so, I mean, to go into the house or up to the house is like a mile of private property, you know. So they have gates upon gates that they lock. And so when we were walking around in the house, we actually caught something watching us through the window. And we actually caught these red glowing eyes watching us through the kitchen window, and it was blinking. And I was shocked because this thing was so big. And we actually caught it four times, not just once, four times. Two of them were white glowing eyes. And people, you know, when we post it, people are like, oh, they're car headlights. Well, they actually are not. They there's no cars that can come up to the house.
You can't see a road outside the windows anywhere other than their driveway, which was, you could see their driveway out the window where we caught the red eyes, which was their kitchen window that looked into their backyard.
Yeah, it was a single trailer. So, I believe that these, to catch something that the owner experienced the first time you're there, it's unheard of.
Do you believe that humans, or spirits, I should say, can put themselves in an animal temporarily?
Oh, yeah. They can change their shape to look like an animal.
Put themselves in an animal.
Or possess an animal?
I guess it would be shape-shifting, too.
But is it a living animal?
Yes. Yes.
I think they could... And for just a few moments, they can manipulate an animal, you know, to get your attention or get the animal to do something. But I don't think they can fully possess an animal, you know. I think that's where the laws of nature are applied. You know, they can't. It's just same thing with how these spirits can't kill you. There's like some kind of line they cannot cross. And I think it protects us from these beings, you know.
So is shape-shifting something completely different?
Yeah. I think that...
The shape-shifting comes from more of that, how they talk about the medicine man that gone
the evil, skinwalker.
The skinwalker. The
skinwalkers, yes.
Where he transforms into a supernatural being that can take on shapes of animals, of large cats, wolves, bears, you know, to go out into the world and do its bidding.
Yeah.
But skinwalker is definitely a thing you do not want to run into.
No.
For any reason. And we highly suggest anybody out there listening to this, don't go looking for a skinwalker. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's a corrupted spirit.
It is very corrupt. And if you're unfortunate enough to cross paths with one, you may not come home.
Yeah.
So, and it's very real.
Yeah. These, you have to commit the most heinous crime of nature to become something like this. And they strip the skin of their prey and then take over their persona and voice. So, and they can take it off and then use another one and use another one. So, you know, over time, this thing is just more twisted and corrupt and evil, and it just keeps growing.
It just gets worse and worse.
Yeah. Well, the Wendigo is something separate. It's completely different, and it may kind of look similar if it's skinwalker is in an animal state, but Wendigo is a creature that originally was punishing people who hurt the earth. So, you know, people have something different that they are doing, where skinwalker will pile up and, you know, prey. Wendigo, is more like punishing, and they're completely different. Look at that too.
Yeah.
So I had an experience quite recently where a baby colt chased my car down. I was out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I was looking for a ghost town up in the mountains in northern Nevada. So it was on one of those little dirt roads that used to be a cart path or something. And this colt that was by itself chased my car down and started running laps around the car. I thought there was something wrong with this baby horse. So I stopped the car to see if I could help it. As soon as I stopped my car, it kind of neighed and ran off. And then just a few feet from me, there was these mutilated dolls in a perfect circle around this Joshua tree. I think there's a video.
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
That is pretty strange to find something like that out in the middle of nowhere. Somebody was trying to create something or
curse,
bring out some sort of demonic manifestation. You know, whatever they were doing had seriously bad intent.
Which is sad because there's horses there. The water drink, you know, they're trying to, you know, destroy that positive energy. And that's terrible.
Yeah. It was a pretty bad experience. that I'm going to carry with me.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
But I was trying to figure out, is it something related to the water baby thing, you think?
Water baby is a real water spirit. And these things are kind of like, on, you know, in the lines with the mermaid and those kind of beings. They're, you know, they inhabit the water. And so they, I mean, we have stories of these water babies who will sound like a child, and, or when you come close to the water, you get pulled in. So, you know, they're not necessarily evil, but they do evil things, you know, that we would find evil, like pull you in the water, you know, but not really like a demon. Don't want to get close to one because, you know, they pull you in. And then that little people is something completely different from water babies. And we've actually had an experience with that. We were at the, on an Indian.
Kalispell Indian Reservation.
Yeah. In Northern Idaho.
Eastern Washington.
And yeah, right on the border. And yep. We were investigating the sacred site of the Kalispell tribe, and we were getting done and coming down from the trail. And I was, you know, still videotaping and looking around. And I could hear what sounded like a wounded bird, and it was in the fall, so a lot of the leaves were off the bushes, and so I could see the ground through the bush branches, and I can hear the bird, but I can't see nothing, and I'm like, where is this thing? And then pretty soon I could hear it behind me, so I'm like, how did it cross the trail and get behind me? So then I'm looking again in the brush, and, you know, this bird's loud, it sounds hurt. And then pretty soon it's a little higher. And I'm like, how did it get there? Maybe it's more than one. And then I was like, well, wait, it sounds like the same one. So then I go up again and I'm looking. And then pretty soon I hear it on the other side of the trail a little higher. And then I thought, oh my gosh, my mom used to tell me this tale that these creatures will sound like, you know, it could sound like a baby. It could sound like a baby bird or a baby animal, and lure you away from the group. And that's exactly what this thing was doing. And I was shocked. I was like, wow. So I go running down to the group and I said, this was happening, you know, to me. And our daughter goes, let's test that theory. So she started walking on the trail, and you could hear that bird right next to her. I couldn't believe it. Oh,
but
my
couldn't
gosh.
See it. Couldn't see it. There was no physical
nothing there.
Bird there. There was no chipmunk. Like she said, she could see clean through the bushes because all the leaves were off the bushes.
Oh, my gosh.
And if it was a bird or an animal, you would have seen it scurrying.
Yes.
To get from position to position.
You would hear it scurrying.
You would hear it, but you didn't hear any scurrying. You didn't see it move. You just heard the sound that it was making all of a sudden over there.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden over there. always leading you.
It lures you away from the group, and that's exactly what it was doing. And Kent had taken pictures of the whole area, and we got home and we caught
full spectrum pictures.
Almost always on full spectrum we catch these beings, but we actually caught what looked like it had a round head, and it had a Zorro mask, a black mask on its face, and so the eyes were white, and it had like little pants and little shoes, like shoes. I couldn't believe it. And had a pipe.
It was
a long pipe.
It was smoking.
You can see
pipe.
Smoke coming out of that because Kent was taking pictures really quickly. So you can actually see movement of the smoke from this pipe. And the head was moving. I couldn't believe it.
The expression changed on its face.
I couldn't believe it.
It went from a relaxed pose to all of a sudden, like, surprise.
Yeah, like eyes
like
wide.
It noticed us or something. And then you see this billow of red smoke coming out of the pipe in the next picture. It's crazy. That's on that
Proof of Elementals video we have on YouTube.
Yep, Proof of Elementals video.
Oh, I can believe it. I was so shocked. And see, as a Native American, we, you know, they tell the stories. And that's how our you know, our history is recorded, is passing these stories down from generation to generation. And so all the history, when they talk about elementals, Native Americans, they describe them as these spiritual beings that were never human, and they would use things from the ground, and they put them on their like clothing or to disguise their body, you know, and their head and their figure. And so I was shocked to see it had shoes. I was shocked it had a pipe. Yeah. I'm like, what is that? And it was like 2 feet tall.
And we actually caught, we went back after catching that evidence. We went back to investigate again, and we started asking questions about this masked elemental that we captured, the one smoking the pipe. And I asked, I said, does it, you know, what did I say again exactly?
Who smokes pipe?
I asked, who smokes the pipe? And we actually got an EVP that came across pretty clear, and it said, it smokes a pipe, just like that. Or no, that was the question I asked. I said, what do you like to smoke?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In your pipe. And then the EVP said, it smokes a pipe.
Yeah, but to validate that, yeah. We just were shocked.
It referred to itself as it.
It. Yes. Yes, it did.
Yes.
It, yeah. Well, whatever was talking referred to it as an it.
Yeah, right.
We don't know if we were communicating with
it.
The elemental itself.
Or, yeah. Because,
another,
you know,
spirit.
In our history of finding elementals, they don't talk like we do. They don't say a sentence, a full sentence.
You hear, but like, we hear gibberish.
Yeah. We actually caught on a trail in Idaho, North Idaho. And we caught this. Well, we put a camera down on the trail and we walked past about how many yards? Like a football field.
Yeah, we walked right away.
And the camera gets distorted. And then you hear a giggling. It sounds like a gremlin. And it was like excited.
Blood
that
chilling.
I couldn't believe it. And then you hear this weird warbling, like talking, and it was happy that it, you know, was messing with our camera, you know. So we went back again, and we had experiences with the water moving under a bridge, and we had to hang on to the side because the energy was so massive, it felt like the whole bridge was moving. Like the activity on this trail was just crazy.
Off the hook.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It was one of our favorite places to capture elementals.
That's where we saw our first, my first full blown shadow figure just rise up out of the ground. And it was me and Tanya and a friend of ours who came up from Portland.
A friend of ours came up. He wanted to have a paranormal experience. And
and boy, did he.
He did.
I saw this thing rise up. I mean, at first I thought it was a stump. But the trail goes right there where we had our camera. We didn't have cameras set up that night. And it was just a personal experience. We didn't capture it on video. But I saw this thing just rise up. And I said, look, there's somebody over there. And granted, it's 3 o'clock in the morning in Sandpoint, Idaho. There is nobody out.
Oh, the bridge was lit up
behind it.
Yeah, and then so we could see it.
This thing rise up and start walking. And it takes about 3 steps and stops.
It's standing in the middle of the
and
trail.
And it's just standing there.
Looked like it was looking at us.
It was so jet black that it was blacker than the nighttime behind it.
It had no arms.
So
it was
no
just
arms.
Standing there with its legs kind of spread.
Perfect head, torso, and legs spread. No arms.
Yeah. About how tall was it?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty tall.
Yeah. It had to have been over 6 feet tall.
Yeah. It was pretty tall. And then it just walked out over the water and disappeared. And we all three witnessed it together.
Yeah. We kept an eye on it to see if it would come back out, but it didn't. And we kept walking. Nobody took their eyes off of this spot. And when we got there, there's no way. It went right into the water. Right into the water. So the elementals that we've been experiencing.
And then that flying thing that we caught.
The fairy?
No, the one that burst into flight off the handrail.
Location. It looked like an eagle. It had eagle legs, you know, the feet.
But
it's wings.
Its wings sound like big leather wings.
Like bat wings, but it looked like
part
eagle.
Yeah, and this was in that same location.
Yeah.
We got it on two different cameras, an infrared camera and a full spectrum camera. We're both looking at the same spot at the same time. And the infrared camera saw nothing. The full spectrum camera, though, right as the camera starts to get towards it, you hear this thing just take flight. It just sounds like leather wings just ripping through the air.
Yeah.
And all you see is these feet go out of the screen real quick. And it is freaky. I mean,
That's a popular phenomenon.
It was large.
Very big.
But we didn't see anything.
That's a popular phenomenon is like the birds, the big giant, like Mothman.
Yes, yes.
There's another one. I can't remember the name, but it's a bird. The Thunderbird. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I had an experience with that. I was picking my kids up from school and we were stuck in line coming out of the high school because the buses were going. And I saw the shadow go over my car and I look up and it's a bird. And I thought it was a small plane. That's how big this was. And so I got out of my car and I saw two of them. And I'm like, how is nobody seeing this? And it the color of it was like buckskin. It had that beige color and they were so massive. And I was like, I can't believe nobody else saw that. And it was amazing. That was one of the most amazing experiences I ever had. And that was daytime. That was right after my kids got out of high school. But you know, like we were saying, there's so many different types of elementals. I mean, we actually captured a fairy in a children's room.
I was asking you to tell me about the fairy.
Well, oh my gosh. Okay, so this friend of ours wanted to experience a paranormal. So we told him, you know, once you investigate, it opens that window and you'll start seeing things. Well, he called us and then a couple weeks later and he said, I think there's a demon in my house. So we had to go to his house and investigate. And he said that this creature, every single night, this creature would run across his dresser, jump on his bed, and breathe in his face every night. And so he was worried because he'd get his kids on the weekend, every other weekend. So he was worried that this creature was there when his kids were there. So we went and investigated, and we walked in his kids' room, and a fairy came out of our motion detector. And it was a pale blue. And just flew across the sky. I mean, the room. And this thing had wings like dragonfly, and it looked like an outline of a naked Tinkerbell.
It did. It really totally did. When you slow it down and go frame to frame, and literally it was this long, it flying by Tanya's head because it went right by Tanya's head, and it was probably about that long. And it did. It had four wings like a dragonfly. And at one point, you can almost see a Superman pose.
You see a little butt.
You see a little butt, pointed feet and everything.
It blew me away. I was like, I thought they were in Scotland and Ireland. Like I said, we hear stories of elementals. They're creatures that put, you know, things on to disguise and look like nature. But a fairy here? I was shocked. You know,
yeah, we
thought it was an Irish thing.
Yes, yeah. But they're not. They're here too. I was pretty amazed.
Yep.
Amazed.
That house was super active.
Yeah.
There was something going on with that property.
Yeah, we caught different shadows.
Right next to a big river he lived. That had a lot of Native American background in that area. Yeah,
a lot of places do that are haunted. And they have to have all these different elements, like our earth and rock and water and trees. They love to be around those areas. So if you find an area with all those different elements, you'll find elementals. And if it's
are they kind of like the guardians of that?
Yes. They protect the area and help it grow.
But that place, that house where we caught that fairy wasn't the only thing we caught there.
Oh my gosh.
We caught a black mass coming.
There's two of them.
There was one. The one that's the best capture was you see this billowing black translucent cloud come right up from beside his bed and leave the room. And then like a minute goes by and then you see this black mass come back and it's swirling and then it just stops and it just falls and you just see it melt into the bed. It's just a bizarre capture.
Me and our daughter, our oldest daughter, actually slept in his room because we wanted to experience this creature, you know?
Right.
So we're laying there, and well, my daughter got into bed first, and she sat up and she said, "Something pinched me." She goes, "It keeps pinching me." And she's looking around. You can actually see fingers like this pulling back the curtain.
We captured these little fingers on the curtain behind her.
Behind her.
Because I started ripping off a lot of full spectrum pictures right after she got pinched. And yeah, the first picture you just see a dot on the curtain. And then the next picture you see three tiny fingers holding onto the curtain. But that's all you see is three fingers wrapping around the curtain. And then I went over and I took two pictures of Tanya laying there.
And I said, there's something over here.
Yeah, she goes, "There's something over here." And I went and I put my camera over there and I clicked off two quick ones. And in the first picture, you don't see anything.
You just see the shadow of the bed rail.
Yeah.
The post.
The post. And then in the next picture, there it is. And it's like a 3 foot tall. And it's all in black, and it looks muscular. Like, you can see the shoulder and a full shot of its face. And it's all, the face is all white with two beady black eyes.
Look like a bald head.
It has, like, a pointed ear.
Pointed ears. Like, really Spock. Like, not Spock, but, yeah. Like, troll.
It's,
or...
And it's right next to Tanya. I mean, literally right next to her.
It's
so vivid that it's actually blocking out the things that are on the nightstand behind it. That's how perfectly we got it on.
How strong its energy was.
Yeah.
And it was moving in motion when Kent was taking that picture. So you see a still and then a smear.
You see like a smear over it because it's in motion.
At the same time he's taking the picture. So you see a still and a smear. So it's crazy.
Oh,
the pointed ears on these things, like, it's amazing.
But he'd always say that this thing would push. It was strong enough to push through the bed and push him up. He would feel it pushing under his bed and pushing up on him.
While he's sleeping.
That's how strong this thing was. It would do things. And
we caught on video, it's slapping the bed.
Yeah, it slapped the bed.
Yeah.
You see the covers go poof.
Yep. And you see this like lump moving around in his bed. And then the bed goes down and it goes flat. And then, you know, it's moving around. I'm like, that's freaky to see something and moving around in a bed that's made. Yeah, that was strange.
But what do you tell clients who are legitimately afraid of these beings,
well,
being bothered by them?
Well, if the same thing with anything that's evil or negative. You don't want to give them your fear because fear gives them power. And you know, like with fallen angels and demons, I tell people, God didn't give them more power because they fell. Angels were created to protect mankind. And so when they fell from heaven, they don't have more power because they fell. It's our negativity that gives them power. So when you don't give them fear, they can't rule over you. That's why we don't fear evil.
So we try to calm people's fears.
Yeah, we try to calm them down and tell them.
And explain to them in more detail what they're actually experiencing. And that's all based upon the evidence that we capture. And we always tell clients that most investigations are going to be 2 to 3 parts. You know, we can't just, because a lot of people will call up Tanya and say, "Please come in and bless my house and do all this stuff and get rid of these spirits." And it's like, we can't just come in guns a-blazing like that. We have to investigate. We have to go back and watch all the evidence. And then if we do collect evidence, which we always do, we learn from that collected evidence to formulate a plan of attack based on what we've learned from the captured evidence. Yeah. And we always learn something that gives us a clue on what it is, what it's doing, and what it wants. And usually not in that order, but along those lines. It gives us a better idea, gives Tanya a better idea on how to approach our next move. Because we have another video on YouTube that we actually did a spirit removal for this.
Yeah, we put something evil in a vessel.
Yep.
Yes. Have you ever seen that movie where those guys create all these elaborate containers to hold evil or evil spirit, and then they blow it up?
No.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You can just take something and we put something in there to draw in negative energy, and then so we put it in there, and we gave it an opportunity to leave too. That's why we put it in there, because it would not leave. And it was really, you know, harming this couple, and like it was messing with their cars and their clothes and depression.
Their lives.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
And so when we put this thing in a vessel and we took it home, because we had to go, we actually went and buried it, but we had to keep it in our car until we could bury it. And Kent was testing to see if it was there with our equipment. And like the K2 was going off.
The millimeter. The REM pod was going off. Anytime I got close to it with a piece of tech, yeah, it was just blowing up.
Yes.
And of course, that's on video too. That's on that video.
Yeah, you can see it.
We actually, you know, okay, there's something really in this thing.
Yeah, we validated
that she really did capture it in this vessel. And it took us a few days before we could go out and
pick a location
and bury it,
that it wouldn't harm anybody or any animal.
And I never brought it into the house. No. I kept it outside. And when I went to go get it, to put it in the car to go take it and bury it, we started capturing crazy EVPs like "unhand me" and "let me out" and all these.
And it sounded like a child at one point.
Yeah, it was masking his voice as a child, doing anything to plead us to let it go.
Yeah.
And that's deception, 100% deception.
Yeah.
And we weren't falling for it. And we took it out to a secure
location. And we check that location every year.
Yeah, we go back and check on it every year to make sure it's not,
because we're responsible for it. Once we remove it, it's in our hands now. And we are responsible for it. And so we check it every year. Oh, I mean,
we videotape those checkups.
Yeah.
And we actually capture things then too.
Can't wait to go see if the road was, the snow was gone from the road so that we could go there. And he had 4 flat tires. Like, things would happen when we go to that location. Yeah.
3 out of my 4 tires, which I had just had put on the day before. Yeah. And the car sat there all night, no problem with the tires. And as soon as I got close to this location, 3 of my 4 tires went flat while I was on the highway going 65 miles an hour, almost crashed the car, and got off the highway and realized, what in the hell? 3 out of my 4 tires went down, and the other one was going down. And I just couldn't believe it.
And, you know, The moment that we put that thing in the ground, we could hear these booming, boom, boom, boom
deep
on the earth. 3 of them blew us away. I was like, what was that? Right in the process of putting this thing in the ground. You couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I could have you on all night long, but I'm going to have to wrap this up. I really appreciate you guys being on.
You bet.
Where can my guests find you guys?
Well, we have we put our latest videos on YouTube. So you can go to Native Paranormal Seekers. And we also have a website, nativeparanormalseekers.com. So you can communicate with us there. And it has our information. So if anybody needs help.
Well, I'm definitely going to have you guys on again. I love hearing your stories.
Oh, we have so many.
many more. Go watch some stuff.
Yeah, watch our videos. It's pretty mind-blowing.